ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 9, entitled "The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti." Text number 5. Nunam Tvam Vidhana Subhru Preshitashi Sharirinam Sarvendriya Manah Pritim Vidhatum Sangranena Kim. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O beautiful girl with beautiful eyebrows, certainly Providence, by His causeless mercy, has sent you to please the senses and minds of all of us. How is this not a fact? Text 6. We are now all engaged in enmity among ourselves because of this one subject matter, the container of nectar. Although we have been born in the same family, we are becoming increasingly inimical. O thin-waisted woman, who are so beautiful in your prestigious position, we therefore request you to favor us by settling our dispute. Purport. The demons understand that the beautiful woman had attracted the attention of them all. Therefore, they unanimously requested her to become the arbiter to settle their dispute. Text 7. All of us, both demons and demigods, have been born of the same father, Kashyapa, and thus we are related as brothers. But now we are exhibiting our personal prowess in dissension. Therefore, we request you to settle our dispute and divide the nectar equally among us. Text 8. Having thus been requested by the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a beautiful woman, began to smile. Looking at them with attractive feminine gestures, she spoke as follows. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha Katham Kashyapadayada Pumshchalyam Mai Sangata Vishwasam Pandito Jato Kamini Shunayatihi. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Mohini told the demons, O son of Kashyapa Muni, I am only a prostitute. How is it that you have so much faith in me? A learned person never puts his faith in a woman. Purport. Chanakya Pandit, the great politician and the moral instructor, said, Vishwaso naiva kartavya strishu rajakuleshucha. Never put your faith in a woman or a politician. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was pretending to be a woman, warned the demons against putting so much faith in her. For she had appeared as an attractive woman, ultimately to cheat them. Indirectly disclosing the purpose of for which she had appeared before them, she said to the sons of Kashyapa, How is this? You were all born of a great Rishi, yet you are putting your faith in a woman who is loitering here and there, like a prostitute, unprotected by father or husband. Women in general should not be trusted, and what to speak of woman loitering like a prostitute. The word Kamini is significant in this connection. Women, especially beautiful young women, invoke the dormant lusty desires of a man. Therefore, according to Manu Samhita, every woman should be protected either by her husband, by her father, or by her grown sons. Without such protection, a woman will be exploited. Indeed, women like to be exploited by men. As soon as a woman is exploited by a man, she becomes a common prostitute. This is explained by Mohini Murti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, so I sincerely seek the blessings of all the Vaishnava devotees before I make an attempt to speak on this particular subject matter. So this is a section in this particular Samudra Manthan Leela where Mohini Murti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has incarnated as a beautiful woman to bewilder the demons. Previously, just to have a background, in the previous chapter, Dhanvantari, the Lord appeared as Dhanvantari and he brought with him the container of nectar. And demons, they snatched away from him because they wanted to have the nectar so that they could become immortal and enjoy sense gratification. So they snatched the pot of container from Dhanvantari. And then to bewilder the demons, now Mohini Murthy has appeared. So this is a section where in first previous shlokas, the nature of demonic person is explained. These demons were all together while fighting against demigods. But as soon as they got the pot of container, nectar, they immediately became inimical towards each other. That is the nature of a demonic person. As soon as their own sense gratification is hampered, they immediately become enemy. The friend becomes the enemy and the enemy becomes the friend. That is the nature of a demonic person. And just to bewilder them, Mohini Murthy appeared. So this is a very beautiful pastime of the Lord, where in the whole pastime, so many times the Lord appears. This is a pastime where Lord appears for many number of times. In any particular pastime, if you see that Lord is already there throughout, in the same form mostly. But here in this Leela, the Lord is appearing so many times. So we will first discuss about how the Lord appeared in different times, in different phases of this Leela. And next part of our discussion, we'll discuss what are the special features of the pastimes of the Lord. So the whole pastime, as all of you, we have been hearing for a few weeks, the whole pastime started as Indra being cursed by Durvasamuni. Indra had developed pride, and because Durvasamuni offered him the garland, Indra in turn offered it to the elephant. An elephant being an animal, he didn't value the garland, and therefore he put it in between his legs and he smashed it. And when Durvasamuni saw, he cursed Indra to be poverty stricken. So already the battle was going on between the demigods and demons. In addition to that, he was cursed to be poverty stricken. So the demigods were in a miserable condition. They were put in an awkward condition. And because they were put in an awkward condition, they immediately approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nature of a demigod. Demigods always seek the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And the demons, they never take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the difference. So in this whole pastime, whenever they had problems, they always took shelter of Lord Vishnu. And therefore Lord appeared, because they took complete shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So here, now the demons were already become so powerful, they had overpowered all the demigods, and demigods were in miserable condition, and they approached Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma is the secondary creator, is the chief among the demigods, so they approached Lord Brahma. Now again, Lord Brahma, though he is a creator, he knew that the situation can only be rectified by taking shelter of Lord Vishnu. So he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though it is explained in one of the translation Prabhupada writes, though Brahmaji has not seen the Lord, but still he had so much faith, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and started offering beautiful prayers. That these prayers we already discussed in the previous section. So these, after offering prayers, Lord Brahma, he was heartfully offering those prayers, and because the prayers been offered, Lord had to appear. So the disturbance was created by the demons. So demons are in tamogun, in the mode of ignorance, and the whole situation had become such an awkward, the demigods were in such an awkward position that the situation has to be reinstated. So anything to put in a proper state or to maintain mode of goodness is required. And therefore, they approach Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu is in charge of mode of goodness. So the disturbance was created because of demons who are in mode of ignorance. So once they have, so the demigods approached Lord Vishnu to resettle the situation back to normal. And because Lord Brahma and demigods, they offered beautiful prayers to the Lord. Prayers, they pleased the Lord, it is said. That is the way we approach the Lord. And because the Lord was pleased, the Lord appeared. It is said Lord appeared, that Shirodaksha Vishnu appeared. And it is explained when he came, it's like his appearance was like thousands of suns rising at one time. So Lord Vishnu appeared on the scene, and whenever Lord appears, he gives instructions. That is how we associate with the Lord, by following the instructions. And he gave the instructions to the demigods that they make a peace proposal with the demons and churn the ocean. And after the churning the ocean, they will get nectar, so that the both parties will be benefited. So Lord gave the instructions and he left. So this is the first time the Lord appeared on the scene as Shirodaksha Vishnu, Hari. The meaning of Hari is he one who vanquishes all inauspiciousness. Inauspicious condition was created by the demons, but to reinstate, Lord Hari had appeared. This is the first instance when Lord appeared. And the second instance in this particular pastime, the Lord appears, that as they started following the instructions, because demigods are obedient servants of the Lord, they started following the instructions of the Lord. Just like Lord has instructed that they should make Mandara mountain the churning, may use for churning, and Vasuki for as a churning rod, they started towards the ocean by carrying the Mandara mountain. So it is explained that this Mandara mountain was so heavy, it was made up of gold. And it was so heavy that practically many of the demigods were actually killed, they were smashed. And therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared again with his carrier bird, Garuda. And very easily he lifted the Mandara mountain and placed it on the back of Garuda. And then they came to the ocean of milk, and then Garuda unloaded the Mandara mountain. And then Lord instructed him that he should leave, because Garuda cannot be there, because Vasuki, being a serpent, used as a churning rod, there will be again conflict. So he was told to leave, and Garuda left. And Lord, again, he helped the demigods to churn the ocean. Now who will take what portion of the serpent, Vasuki? That was again a big quarrel going on. The Lord immediately took the hold of the front portion of the serpent Vasuki. And demons, because of their competitive nature, they thought that this is the auspicious portion. Face is considered an auspicious portion, and tail is an inauspicious. So they, because of competitive desire, they said that because we are learned, we should hold the front portion. And Lord knew that anyway, wherever there is Lord, the demigods also knew that there is all auspiciousness. Whether it's a front portion or the tail portion, ultimately the demigods are going to win, because the Lord will be there on the side. So in this way, the Lord appeared for the second time in this particular pastime. And then, while the churning was going on, Vasuki being used as a churning rod, it had no support. And because of no support, the Mandara mountain started sinking. And then again, the Lord had to appear as Kashyapa, that is, tortoise, Kurma. So he appeared as Kurma avatar, and his body extended 800,000 miles. Something inconceivable, or like for a common man, it's something unbelievable. But that is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, as soon as the Lord appeared, all As they were greatly disappointed, demigods were greatly disappointed, they were full of enthusiasm again to churn the ocean of milk. So we see here that every phase of this particular pastime, whenever there were problems, the demigods approached the Lord and the Lord appeared. Similarly, in our condition for a sadhaka, to the extent we take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, to that extent Lord will help. This is a very, very important lesson we can learn from this particular pastime. And then the churning continued, and Lord was helping in the churning whole process along with the demigods and demons. Then Halahal came, then Lord Shiva drank the whole poison, Surbhi cow came, and the horse, then Airavat and the she elephants, then Kastuba, Jem, Parijat, Trin, so many things came. And Lord had warned the demigods not to get bewildered by such things. Ultimately you will get nectar, but don't get bewildered by the different things which come up during the churning of ocean. And then Lakshmiji appeared, then Varuni, the goddess of drinking, appeared, and the demons took charge of it. And then the partial incarnation of Dhanvantari came with the pot of nectar. And then the demons came to know, now this is the nectar which we are all searching for. So much trouble they took to come to this point. So they immediately snatched from Dhanvantari and they ran away. And once they took the whole container, they become inimical, as we explained earlier. They become inimical towards each other. And they started fighting amongst each other. And then, just to bewilder them, Mohini Murti appeared. And this section, particularly this chapter, it explains that Mohini Murti came just to bewilder the demons by her gestures, by her beauty, by her sweet words. Because she had taken the form of a woman, the demons, they were so captivated that they were ready to hear whatever she was going to tell. And she made a proposal that you have to agree with whatever I say. And because they were captivated, completely bewildered by the energy of the Lord, they could not understand. They agreed to whatever Mohini Murti said. And ultimately, they didn't get the nectar. The demigods got the nectar first. So here we see that why the Lord has descended in particular this pastime. A very beautiful shloka at the start of this Leela in the 6th chapter appears, that why the Lord has descended as the tortoise incarnation. It is said, Eka eva ishvaras tasmin sura karya sureshvara vihartu kamas tan aha samudra manthana adibhi. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of Demigods, was capable of performing the activities of the demigods by himself, he wanted to enjoy the pastimes in churning of the ocean. So the whole purpose of this Lord's descending as Kurma and so many other forms like Dhanvantari and Mohini Murti, it's only because the Lord wanted to enjoy the pastime of churning of the ocean. It's for the Lord's pleasure. So Lord incarnates, there are so many reasons, just like Bhagavad Gita says, that he comes to kill the demons and save the saintly people. But ultimately, it's out of love. In 10th canto, I was reading yesterday, it is said, I will read what Prabhupada says, directly his words. Presentation of spiritual pastimes is itself an actual act of love that Krishna performs for the infinite spiritual happiness of pure-hearted souls who have transcended material envy of the Godhead. So actually, the Lord descends or he performs different pastimes, it's an act of love. And in that act of love, that definitely the demigods are always protected and the demons are always defeated. But it is said that it is out of the act of love, because Lord wanted to enjoy the pastimes. That's why the Lord descended. And therefore it is said that these pastimes give tremendous pleasure both to the Lord and the devotees. And therefore it is said that we have to see these pastimes without envy. If we are envious about the Lord, then we will not understand. Such facts are presented in this particular pastime, that the body of the Lord, a tortoise, was 800,000 miles, and such something amazing. which cannot be believed by a common man. But only if we are free from envy, and if we are free from, to the degree we are free from envy, we can appreciate all these pastimes of the Lord. So, we'll see that some of the characteristics of the Lord's pastimes, and we'll try to understand in this context. So, the first, there are so many characteristics, just like it is said in Krishna book I was reading, it is said, we cannot estimate the qualities of the Lord. And even if a person can estimate the qualities of the Lord, the next moment, the qualities of the Lord are increased. So in one sense, we cannot estimate the qualities of the Lord. So similarly, the characteristics or the features of pastimes of the Lord cannot be estimated by a conditioned soul like me. But we can make an attempt to present some of these features. There are so many features that, like, of the pastimes, like the, all the pastimes of the Lord are all good, they're all auspicious, all attractive. So many things and so much can be spoke. But we'll just try to focus on three or four of these. So the first transcendental the pastime of the Lord, they are transcendental. First characteristic, that the Lord's pastimes are transcendental. So we will try to understand actually what actually transcendental means. So here in this particular section, Lord Brahma, when he was praying, we discussed before at the start of our lecture, that Lord Brahma was praying so that the Lord comes and rectifies the situation. So the Lord Brahma is praying, he is saying, Ajata janma sthiti samya maya gunaya nirvana sukharnavaya anor animne apari ganya dhamne maha anubhava namo namaste. Brahmaji is saying, although you are never born, Ajata janma sthiti samya maya. It is said, although the Lord is unborn, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You are always free from all material qualities, and you are shelter of the transcendental bliss, resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisance unto you, the supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. Maha Anubhava Namo Namaste. So Lord's appearance or Lord's activities are inconceivable, which cannot be perceived by our limited brain. Here Brahmaji is praying. Therefore it is said, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Ajopi san avve atma bhutanam ishwar bisan prakritim sam adishtaya sambhavami atma maya. So Lord appears through his internal potency. So he doesn't accept a body like us. Whenever he appears, he doesn't have a material body. It's completely spiritual. And therefore, it's a pastime of the Lord that the Lord appears. Though he is unborn, he appears. Therefore, it is said, the word here used in this particular shloka is apari ganya dhamne. That means, whose bodily features are never to be conceived by material speculation. We cannot understand. And therefore, all the pastimes of the Lord are transcendental bliss to the Lord. And therefore, there is no limit to the Lord's appearance in different incarnations. There is no limit. We cannot limit the Lord for a particular incarnation. All the incarnations are eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Therefore, transcendental means that the Lord is beyond the three modes. He is nirguna. Impersonalists say that the Lord doesn't have qualities. But guna means qualities. And nir means beyond estimation. So nirguna actually means we cannot estimate the qualities of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that nirguna means that we cannot estimate the qualities of the Lord. Just like we explained, even if one is able to estimate, let's assume that one can estimate the qualities of the Lord, the next moment it increases. So in one sense, we cannot estimate the qualities of the Lord. So, in so many prayers, if Bhagavatam, if we see, so many elevated, exalted souls, they offer different prayers, and all the prayers, if you see, they say that the Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature. So, transcendental, one meaning of transcendental is that the Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature. It's just like the example is given in third canto, like Lord incarnating or Lord taking birth. Just like a juggler or a magician performs such wonderful acts. Sometimes he becomes a cow. He transforms himself into some other animal or creature. But that doesn't mean he's a creature. But although he transforms himself into another animal or a creature, still the creature is there. Similarly, the Lord, though he may be incarnating, still it's not that he appears as a human being. Generally, people say that the Lord comes as a human being. Though he comes as a human, he appears as a human being, though he is not a human being. Just like the magician, he transforms into a cow. He is not a cow. Similarly, the Lord, when he incarnates, he is not like all of us, like a conditioned soul. He is completely transcendental, beyond the three modes. He never comes under the jurisdiction of three modes of material nature. He is beyond that. Just like the king, he visits the prison, but he is not bound by the rules and the regulations of the prison. Similarly, the Lord, when he incarnates, he is beyond the three modes of material nature. That is the meaning of that of the word transcendental, that beyond the three modes. And because the Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature, he is inconceivable. He is difficult to understand. Because all of us, we are conditioned by the three modes of material nature, we cannot understand the Lord, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. And therefore, in order to understand the Lord, we have to transcend the three modes of material nature. That is the process of Bhakti Yoga. Through the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is transcendental, which is absolute, because Bhakti Yoga is on an absolute platform, we can transcend the three modes of material nature, and we can, by the mercy of the Lord, we can understand the Lord. So here, the Lord is transcendental, means that Lord is inconceivable. So here, Sukhdeva Goswami is explaining in the fifth chapter of this particular section of 8th canto, he is saying that tasya anubhava kathito gunascha parmodaya bhavaman renuscha vimane yo vishnur varnayet gunan. Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, various incarnations, are wonderfully described, sometimes they are unable to understand them. Yet everything is possible for the Lord. If one could count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one can count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So here, Prabhupada writes in that purport, he gives the example how the Lord is inconceivable. He performs some inconceivable acts. The Lord's glorious activities in this connection took place after the personal bodyguards Jay and Vijay became daityas, having been cursed by the four Kumaras. Jaya is Hiranyaksha to fight with Varadev, and the same Varadev is mentioned in the regard in the Raivata millennium. This is the fifth millennium, and this pastime took in the sixth millennium. The fighting, however, took place during the ring of first Manu, Swayambhu Manu. Varavatar appeared in the ring of Swayambhu Manu, first Manu. According to some authorities, there are two Varahas, but according to others, however, the Varaha appeared during the regime of Swayambhu Manu, stayed in water till the sixth millennium, till the fifth millennium of Raivata Muni. So it's like inconceivable how long the Lord can stay in that particular incarnation in water. So something inconceivable. This is inconceivable. It can only be conceived by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Lord Brahma, when he was bewildered by Lord Krishna as a child, a small child, the whole Brahma Vimohan Leela took place, and then Brahmaji came to know his position, and he started offering beautiful prayers to the Lord. And in those prayers, Lord Brahma says that one should give up the process of mental speculation. It's not that you can estimate the Lord or you can understand the Lord by mental speculation. It's only by the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We have to hear. Brahmaji is praying, offers prayers. In that prayer, he says that one can understand my Lord by hearing about you, either from you direct or from a bona fide devotee of yourself. So even Brahmaji is saying that it's only the process by hearing. How can one believe that the tortoise can be 800,000 miles? For our brains, who are trained to analyze things Seeing is believing, generally, the so it's only by the process of hearing from a bona fide source. Because hearing from saintly people creates faith. Whole Bhagavatam is about faith. One who doesn't have faith, it's for him, it's just an ordinary book. But one who has faith, then for that person, it is Krishna himself. So the whole process of understanding the Lord is by hearing about the Lord. And therefore, transcendental means that because the Lord is beyond the three modes, because he is beyond the three modes, he is inconceivable. So only process of understanding is the process of Bhakti Yoga. There is no other process to understand the Lord. And therefore, it is said in the third canto that every living entity is controlled by the supernatural force, and thus his sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. No one therefore can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental activities but one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. So everyone is acting, is controlled by some supernatural force, that is Prakriti or Daivi Maya. So just like we see the demons, they got bewildered by the form of the Lord, which was in a form of a woman. And woman, it is said, it's the external energy of the Lord. Lord presents to the whole world Maya in a form of a woman. And demons, they could not recognize the Lord as appeared. They went by the external, because Lord presented them the external energy. Though he was the Lord, but for the demons, they took the external energy as an external energy of the Lord. And therefore, they got bewildered. And wherefore, the demigods didn't get bewildered. They didn't get attracted towards the Mohini Murti form of the Lord to fulfill their lusty desires. Well, the demons, immediately their lusty desires were aroused. That is the difference between demigod and a demon. That the person who doesn't have faith in the Lord, he will get carried away by the illusionary energy of the Lord. And therefore, it is said that it is difficult to overcome the external energy of the Lord. But only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one can overcome the power of illusion, which is presented by the illusionary energy of the Lord. So that is another meaning of transcendental. One has to transcend the three modes by executing devotional service, which starts with hearing and chanting. And another meaning of transcendental, so the first meaning we saw is beyond the three modes, and because he is beyond the three modes, he is inconceivable, and he can be only be understood by the process of devotional service. And another meaning is that transcendental means he is beyond everything, he is Swarat. He appears by his own sweet will. Just like in this pastime, the Lord appeared to enjoy the pastime of churning of the ocean. He is not bound to anyone. He is not obliged to anyone. He came to enjoy the pastime with the demigods and demons. So here, Lord Brahma is praying to the Lord in the same section. Tastair svechha bhute rupe kale kale swayam vibhu karma durvi saham yanno bhagvam stan karotihi. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, by your own sweet will you appear in various incarnations, millennium after millennium, and act wonderfully, performing uncommon wonderful activities that would be impossible for us. So whenever the Lord descends, he performs wonderful activities which are inconceivable. And that's why all the pastimes of the Lord are so attractive. Anything attractive has to be wonderful. Otherwise it cannot be attractive. It has to be something which a person cannot do. That's why a person gets attracted too. Just like here, the demons got attracted to the Mohini Murti because she was attractive. So, Lord appears by his own sweet will. And therefore, Brahmaji is praying here. He is saying, Bhagavam stat karotihi, that it's only by performing some wonderful activities, uncommon activities, which are unable to be enacted by anyone else, it is said. And Lord Brahma was eager to see that form of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that he was not eager to see an imposter. Just like the few weeks back when I was going to Bombay Central Station, I saw a big poster saying, Bhagwan is coming. So, we are not to criticize, but people are so in ignorance that they don't know what actually Bhagwan means. So, here Brahmaji is not looking for such Bhagwan. Some wonderful activities. It's not that some magical feats have to be shown, then he is called a Bhagwan. People accept someone as Bhagwan if he shows some magical feats, some mystic power, then people say he is God. But though here also Krishna is performing, as Kurma Avatar is performing some magical feats, lifting the mountain, but no one can imitate that. That's why he is God. So Brahmaji is looking for such incarnation of the Lord. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the incarnation's activities are proof of his identity. So if anyone can perform such wonderful activities, then he can be accepted as the Lord or Lord's incarnation. We cannot accept any person as Bhagwan. So that's the meaning of what actually transcendental means. Transcendental means that one has... the Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature. He is inconceivable and he is only be understood by devotional service. And he is Swarat. That means he appears by his own sweet will. He is not obliged to anyone. He appears by his own sweet will. So these are the special characteristics of the Lord's pastimes. Another characteristic we will see is that the Lord's pastime appear to be bewildering and contradictory. Apparently contradictory. Of course, it is said that all contradictions are resolved in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But externally, one it may see that they are bewildering or contradictory. So here in this particular section, the demons got bewildered. And sometimes the devotees also get bewildered. So we will see how the devotees also get sometimes bewildered. Just like the whole pastime of Brahma Vimana Leela. Now Brahmaji is a great devotee of the Lord. So when Brahmaji saw different pastimes of the Lord in Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, it is said that Brahmaji wanted to see more pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, it's the Lord's plan that he also got bewildered. So devotees also sometimes they get bewildered, but that is for Lord's enjoyment. It's not the bewilderment, you cannot say that the bewilderment of devotees or bewilderment is same as that of the demons. It's for the Lord's pleasure, for enjoyment's sake. Just like in third canto, Uddhava is saying to Vidur, he is saying, when I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Kamsa, and how he was carried by Vasudev, how he was he stayed away from his parents, lived in Vrindavan. So all these things are bewildering to me. He is saying. And he further says that because Lord Shri Krishna... Prabhupada writes in the purport that because Lord Shri Krishna is the original person from whom everything and everyone has emanated, nothing can be equal or greater than him. The Lord is supremely perfect, and whenever he enacts his pastimes as a son, rival or an object of enmity, he plays the part so perfectly that even pure devotee like Uddhava are bewildered. So this is just for the enjoyment's sake. It's not for any other. There is no other purpose. It's only for the enjoyment's sake. So, Lord's pastimes are sometimes bewildering to the devotees. And sometimes we see some contradictions between the Lord's pastimes. But because the Lord is all-powerful, he can adjust all the opposites. Just like birth and no birth. Like Lord is said that he is unborn, but still he takes birth. Power and defeat. How can the Lord be defeated, but still he likes to be defeated by his devotees? So apparently it may seem that is a contradiction, but the Lord can adjust the opposites. That's why he's all powerful, all Lord. He's all powerful Lord. So, Lord's pastimes are sometimes bewildering. Even Lord Bhishma Dev, he's saying that in first canto it is said, Esho vai Bhagwan Sakshad Adyo Narayana Puman Mahayan Mayaya Lokam Gudas Charati Rushnishu. Bhishma Dev is saying, this Sri Krishna is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayan. Adyo Narayana Puman. He is saying he is the first Narayan, the supreme enjoyer. But he is moving amongst the descendants of King Rushni, just like one of us, and is bewildering us with the self-created energy. So, Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans, and he is saying that it is just, he is coming in this material world just to bewilder with his self-energy. And Prabhupada, in that purport, very nicely explains what actually, how bewilderment takes place. The bewilderment regarding Sri Krishna is due to the action of his twofold energy. The external energy and the internal energy. On the third one, the marginal energy. As we know, that living entities are marginal energy of the Lord. So, the living entities are the expansions of his external marginal energy, and thus, they are sometimes bewildered by the internal energy and sometimes by the external energy of the Lord. By internal energetic bewilderment, Sri Krishna expands himself into unlimited numbers of Narayans and exchanges and accepts transcendental loving service from the living entities in the transcendental world. And by the external energetic expansions, he incarnates himself into the material world among men, animals, demigods, aquatics, to re-establish his forgotten relationship with the living entities in different species of life. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, the great authorities like Bhishma Dev, however, escape his bewilderment by the mercy of the Lord. So bewilderment is always there. It's in which energy we want to situate, that is up to you. That free will is there. So it's better to be situated in the internal energy of the Lord, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that is the another characteristic of the Lord's pastime, that they are bewildering or contradictory. Another characteristic of the Lord's pastime, that it is said in the first canto, how Parikshit Maharaj received the age of Kali. Here, Dharma, in a form of bull, he is saying to Mother Earth, he is saying, in a form of a cow, he is saying, O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari incarnated himself as Lord Shri Krishna just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities are transcendental and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. So, the activities of the Lord are so powerful that just by hearing those pastimes, one gives up the thought of being liberated. It is said that they cement the path of liberation. Here it is said. It is said that the activities of the Lord include liberation. But they are more relishable than the pleasure derived from Nirvana. And here it is said, according to Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, the word used is Nirvana Vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of liberation. To attain liberation, one has to go so many austerity and so many different processes. But the Lord is so merciful that he incarnates and performs so many pastimes that simply by remembering those pastimes, one gets transcendental pleasure which is beyond liberation. Because just by hearing those transcendental pastimes of the Lord, one can enter into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by rendering transcendental devotional service to the Lord. So that's why for a devotee, even liberation is counted as so insignificant. They are not after their own... Even liberation is of a type of sense gratification in one sense, if we see. Concerning our own... To get liberated from the pangs of birth, old age, disease, death. So that is also selfish. But devotees, just by hearing, because the pastimes of the Lord are absolute, they purify the soul and the soul wants to render service to the Lord. That is highest. And therefore it is said that all the activities of the Lord, they cement the path of liberation. Something beyond liberation, hearing the pastimes of the Lord and entering into the pastimes of the Lord. So very this beautiful characteristic which I liked among all, that this is something very, for a sadhaka, that it's beyond something, all mundane conceptions. And last, we'll discuss one more characteristic of the Lord, is the Lord in particular, this particular pastime, is equal to everyone. In the first canto, it is said, the supreme unborn Lord Shri Krishna caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out the thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. So here, the chapter, the Pandavas retire untimely. So here it is said, the Suta Goswami is saying, that the Lord called for some of the confidential demigods. When Lord appears, all the confidential demigods also appeared with him to assist in different pastimes. So now, when the Lord left, the demigods also left their corporal bodies, it is said. The whole pastime took place that they were intoxicated, everyone knows. So for the Supreme Lord, both the demigods and demons are equal, but demigods are obedient servants and demons are not. So here the analogy is given, Suta Goswami is explaining, picking out a thorn by another thorn. Very nice analogy. One thorn which causes pinprick to the Lord's body is certainly disturbing to the Lord. And other thorn which takes out the disturbing elements certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living deity is a part and parcel, the one which pinpricks the Lord is a demon. Another which relieves the Lord from pain is, one who renders voluntary service is a demigod. So there is always quarrel between the demigods and demons. In material world, there will always two classes of men. In Gita also it is said, both Asur and Sur and Asur. And always they will be contending among themselves. But devatas are always, the demigods will always serve the Lord. And demons will always be against the Lord. So world is always of these two living beings. And the Lord's mission is always to protect the devatas, the demigods, and destroy the asuras. Though, in one sense, both are benefited, ultimately. So in one sense, the Lord is equal to everyone. So this is a special characteristic of the Lord's pastime, that through his pastime, he shows that he is equal to everyone. So these are the some few characteristics of the Lord's pastimes. So it's already time up. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.